I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. As you're turning there, I want to just mention very briefly that I felt something shift after the 10th anniversary at the Bible College of Wales. At the Bible College of Wales on the 10th anniversary, we had Dutch Sheets, and Dutch gave a word on the synergy of the ages, and he talked about how as we honor the past generations, God allows us to enter into their labors. You know, Jesus alluded to this. He said, you sow, you have reaped where you have not sown, and you know, others have sown, we've just entered into their labors. And you know, we entered into the labors of Mr. Rhys Howells and the Praying Saints at the Bible College of Wales, and the ministry, the word was so rich, it was so weighty that we're going to make it available for the whole church. And all you need to do is to click on this link that's coming up and download it. That's all we need to do. We've transcribed the whole message for you. And I want to tell you this, it is worth every single moment just to take some time to read about the synergy of the ages. It was a phenomenal word from Dutch. And I was telling the pastors in the room, I said, ever since we had that event on the 25th of May, something has shifted in this church. And my wife and I, we've been experiencing favor like we've never in the last 30 years of ministry. There's so much favor. Doors are opening, and God has been he's been pouring out his blessings upon us in a way that we've never experienced. It's been just wonderful. And I tell you, something is shifting in this house. Amen. All right, I want to talk about recharge, and my text today is Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to verses 4. Very familiar passage, but I want you to open your eyes and ask the Lord to speak to you, because sometimes, you know, we read verses like this and they're so familiar, and we tend to gloss over those verses and miss the very essence of what the Lord is trying to communicate to us. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, everybody say all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all, everybody say all again, all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not here this morning to give you a gold nugget. I'm here to show you where the gold mine is. Amen. We all love a sermon that's like an unforgettable 3 Michelin star meal. But the truth is, we don't get to eat like that every day. We eat simple meals, home cooked meals, day in, day out. And once in a while, we get to taste a gastronomical delight. But it's those simple meals that day in, day out, daily, that sustains us and keeps us going. And this is one of them. This is one of them. It's not designed to wow you. It's designed to teach you to tap into a source of unending power and to drink from the well springs of life itself. Now, this message was birthed when I was reading about Jackie Pullinger, who wrote the best-selling book, Chasing the Dragon. And in a testimony, she's, you know, reaching out to drug addicts and gang members in the old walled city of Kowloon in Hong Kong. And this was in the 70s, and nothing much was happening in her ministry, in her life, until she felt challenged. Listen to this. She felt challenged to pray in tongues. And so she decided to pray 15 minutes by the clock every single day. So at the beginning, all right, she timed herself. At the beginning, she said it was an exercise. It was routine, almost emotionless. But she plowed on. And 6 weeks later, something shifted. Something shifted. People started getting saved. And at that time, she was learning Mandarin and, you know, had difficulty with learning the subject. And all of a sudden, bam, she has this amazing progress in the ability to speak Mandarin. Person after person came to know Jesus through a sharing and ministry. And the rest, they say, is history. And she attributes all of that to praying in tongues. Hallelujah. John G. Lake is, in my opinion, one of the greatest apostles the church has ever witnessed. And when his daughter was asked about his life, she said, my father never made a decision until he prayed in tongues with interpretation. Come on, hallelujah. That's the key. And you know, John G. Lake was, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, my goodness, he was so in tune with the Lord that he could lay hands on the sick and knew exactly, he could diagnose the organ that the person was diseased with and to what extent it was. And he tested it by going to the hospitals. And this is 100 over years ago. And you know, he would pray for people in the hospitals where the doctors could not diagnose their problems, and he would accurately, instantly know which organ was diseased, the extent of the disease, and what needed to be done. Come on. Charles Finney, when he was
prayed when he was filled with the Holy Spirit was so powerful that when he preached, he had to speak in hushed tones because any variation in his voice would cause people to manifest in the house of God. Come on. Smith Wigglesworth, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, went on to a whole new level and ended up raising 14 people from the dead, all documented. We hear stories like this and we ask ourselves, what did these men and women have that we don't have today? Well, I'll tell you what they had. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They were full of faith and they were fully charged at all times. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, when he made that statement, he wasn't trying to boast. He was giving us a key. Why do you think he was the most productive church Chris member in the last 2,000 years of our church history? You have it right there. Because I speak in tongues more than all of you. I had a prophetic word released to me recently by an established prophet in the United States. And this is what he said. And I want to quote this. He said, a new season has opened up for you. God has been building springs on the inside of you. The past season had been tough, but in this next season, he said, expect to see an activation of signs and wonders. Come on, turn to your neighbor and says, expect to see signs and wonders. Amen. I'm telling you, God says, expect it. If you will expect it, God will deliver the goods. Amen. I want to begin by saying that the dead battery cannot charge a dead battery, right? If you want to charge a dead battery, you need a battery that is alive, yes? And the truth is, a lot of Christians are running around like dead batteries. They've no power, they have no life, they have no passion. And when you don't have a charge in you, you can't help people. You need to be charged in order to recharge others. And it's impossible to recharge others if you are running on empty. Now, most of us would take all the necessary precautions never to be caught in a situation where our mobile devices would die on us, right? So when we leave the house in the morning, we make sure the phone is fully charged, or we have, we have a power bank in our bags, because if the battery goes kaput, then you are disconnected from everybody else. But why is it that we are running on zero charge in our spirit and do not take any precautions that we are fully charged? Come on. Amen. That's the oil that Jesus alluded to in the parable of the five wise, five foolish virgins. The five wise virgins had oil in their lamps. In other words, they had reserves. What do you mean by that? They were charged, hallelujah, in our lingo today. But the foolish virgins were running on empty, and all they had was a flickering flame that was about to go off that wouldn't last through the night. So I say to you, be filled with the Holy Ghost and be recharged. Come on. Amen. This is my 35th year in full-time ministry, and I'm still on fire after all these years. I've not lost the fire, and I've not lost the passion. I'm not thinking of retirement, and I want to burn for Jesus all the days of my life. Amen. Why? Because I learned how to charge myself. Hallelujah. I learned, Reinhard Bonnke says, if you keep the fire burning, the fire will keep you burning. Amen. But I want to be honest that there are times when I feel dry. There are seasons when I feel like I'm running on empty, and we all grow through dry seasons. We've all taken time to be weak. So the question I want to ask is, how do you recharge yourselves? How do you get the needle pointing at full at all times? The short answer, pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Pray in the spirit, because nothing recharges you. I am telling you, nothing recharges you like praying in tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is given to us by God to charge the internal battery. It's given to edify the believer in order that the believer may in turn edify others. Come on, how can you edify others if you are yourselves not edified, right? So just so that we are clear, that there is what we call the gift of tongues, or one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when it's manifested in the church, it ought to be accompanied with interpretation so that the church can understand and be blessed by it. But there's another kind of tongue that's been given to us for the strengthening and the edification of the inner man. Paul said that the one who speaks in tongues edifies himself. The Greek word for edify is the word restore, or rebuild, or repair. Hallelujah. So how blessed are we that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us regain new strength when we are weary, overwhelmed, and depleted. Now let me just say, today as we honor the Ruach HaKodesh, when we honor the Holy Spirit, that whatever you thought about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's far greater than what you think. Far greater. It's unfortunate that a lot of conservative Christians today despise speaking in tongues or think very poorly of the Holy Spirit, and that is very sad. They are mistaken to think that God could give us something that is not good. Think about that for a few moments. You know, three weeks ago, I was in Japan with my oldest daughter and her husband and the two grandkids, and we're just having fun. We were in the city of Nagasaki, and it was Sunday. We wanted to go to church, right? So they said, "Dad, what do you want to do?" I said, "I want to go to church." And so we found a church nearby. It was a conservative church, and I remember sitting in the church, and it was not dead. It was dry, right? As dry as a desert. And I was sitting down there, and I did something that I'm embarrassed to do, to say that I did. I did something that I shouldn't have done. I walked out. Halfway in the service, I said, "Lord, I can't take it anymore." And I walked out. I went to a park about 100 meters away, and I started praying in the Spirit, and I felt so much life. Hallelujah. And I came back, and the church was still on. The service was still on. It was still dry. And I went back. I was in the car, and I was thinking, "Lord, we got to do something. Japan needs the Holy Ghost." And I had a dream. I had a dream. And in the dream, I heard the voice of God. I mean, God spoke to me in the dream. Clear voice. He said to me, "Do you want to know what is the key in reaching Japan?" Come on. That was the question in the dream. I said, "Lord, I want to know what is the key." He said, "The gospel of Luke is the key." That's all he said in the dream. I got up, I recorded that down in my journal, but I tell you this, my friends, the Gospel of Luke emphasizes three things: the prayer life of Jesus, it emphasizes the compassion of Jesus, and emphasizes the signs and the wonders. Hallelujah. I am telling you, that's the key for the Japanese people. They need to know that the God they serve is a God of miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you want to break in the Japanese market, boy, you have to be a man full of faith and full of power. Come on, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, shakaba. You know, I was in Nagasaki, and we went to the ground zero, the place where the atomic bomb fell. About 500 meters above, it exploded over the city of Nagasaki. And in 2 seconds, 200,000 people lost their lives. I'm standing at ground zero. I could feel the pain and the emotion. They never got over the defeat. They never got over the humiliation. I could feel the pain of the Japanese people. And I came back to the team, "If we're going to plant a church, I want to plant one in Nagasaki. I believe God wants us to do something in Japan. And let's do something in Japan, amen, that has the fire of the Holy Ghost, amen. No more dead and dry stuff, hallelujah, amen." So, you know, a lot of even so-called Pentecostal Christians don't pray in tongues anymore. If I would do a survey here today and ask you how long each of you pray in tongues every day, would you be embarrassed? So praying in tongues is, I think, one of the things that we have to rediscover. Genesis 11 and verse 1. Watch this. This is so revolutionary, right? "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." Everybody say one language. One speech. Now, speech is different from language. Speech is what we do as we communicate with our voice, but language is far bigger. You can write, you know, the sign language is all kinds of things, right? So language and speech. This is, by the way, the Tower of Babel. What do you think was the language they spoke? They had one language. What do you think they spoke? My guess, your guess is as good as mine. Could be Hebrew, because Hebrew is as pure a language as you can get. Did they speak in the language of angels? I don't know. It could be the language of the Spirit. I don't know. But whatever it was, listen to this, my friends. Whatever language they spoke in, it was a language that was so unifying that the Lord himself said, "Indeed, the people are one and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do, and nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them." This is verse 6. The language they spoke was a pure language, and it united them in a profound way, and their unity, of course, was focused on a plan to overthrow the rule of God. They wanted self-rule. They wanted independence. They didn't want interference from God, and to do that, they proposed to build a tower that would reach into the skies, and they came very close to accomplishing it. I tell you, my friends, what brought about this unholy unity that the Lord himself had to intervene and break up? Two things. They were in one place and they had one language. There's something powerful when people united in purpose come together in one place, everyone speaking one language. And that's why the church camp in the year calendar is the most powerful 4 days of the entire church. Why? Because we are all in one place, and we all speak the one language. Hallelujah. There's something very powerful. Every year, the church camp is powerful because there's something that's released at the camp. So God restored to them. So there was this one language that united them. Now watch this, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Two things that God did to scatter the people in Genesis 11, he is now restoring to them in Acts chapter 2. To unite the people, all right? First, he did that by gathering them in one place and then by restoring one language. It's really important that we come together in one place. Amen. Amen. It's important we come to church. Listen, you can't sit in your living room with your pajamas, sipping on your pina colada and your handful on your mobile device or whatever, and you're watching the screen and you're watching the service go on, and at the end of that hour you say, well, I've been to church. You ain't gone to church yet. There's something about going to church physically, amen? Coming to the house of God. The Paul says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, even as you see the day fast approaching. Come on, my friends. Don't be lazy Christians, hallelujah. Amen. I believe that speaking in tongues is the purest expression of prayer because it is the Spirit who is praying through you. It's like he borrows your vocal cords and articulate words that goes beyond our human understanding. When the disciples hit the street of Jerusalem, they began to speak in the languages of the nations that were gathered. This was next level stuff, man. And it was unusual manifestation of the gift, and our current charismatic Pentecostal experience falls way below what they experienced on the day of Pentecost, and we've got to start catching up. So what I've done is that every morning, before I do anything now, I pray in tongues. I set my clock to 15 minutes. Now, 15 minutes is the minimum, all right? But I set my clock to 15 minutes as a timer on the clock, and I start praying in tongues. Try not to speak in English. And this has been going on for some time now. And I want to tell you that since this happened, something has shifted in my life. A few things happened. Number one, I find myself wanting to pray in tongues even more. I'm in the car, I'm driving. I don't want to listen to BBC. I don't want to listen to music. I want to pray in tongues. I'm walking on the street. I want to pray in tongues. I'm in my room. I want to pray in tongues. I'm beginning to tap into the wellspring that is within me. Jesus said, the more you have, the more will be given unto you. The more you pray in tongues, the more you want to pray in tongues. Come on. You know, when Paul says pray without ceasing, he's not teasing us. I don't think he's playing a fool with us. I believe that people can actually pray through the day without ceasing. And the only way you can do that is by praying in tongues right through the day. Come on. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Number two, there's been a greater clarity when it comes to decision making in my life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows the things of God. He knows the heart. He knows the mind of God. And when you pray in tongues, he helps you in your thoughts. Listen, tongues is not just given to recharge the battery. Paul says in Romans 8, there are times when we don't know what to pray for or what to petition for. Have you ever been in a situation? You don't know what to do. Now, as a pastor, this is my number one struggle, to try and decipher the will of God in every given situation. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I hire this person? Do I not hire that person? And often I can't decide what I should do. And that frustrates me because it's always my desire. Now, I'm the senior pastor of the church, and I tell you this, all I need to do every day is to make 3 high quality decisions, and I've done my job. And my job is not to make 100 small decisions. It's to make 3 quality decisions every single day so that the church can move forward. Hallelujah. Amen. It's really important. That's why I like my meetings in the morning, not after 10, not before 10 a.m. in the morning. So I have time to pray. I have time to be in the presence of God. And I want to make decisions when my mind is sharp. Sometimes people come to me at 5 o'clock in the evening and says, can you make a decision? By that time, my brain's fried. Hallelujah. I'm not thinking of decisions. I want to go home. Hallelujah. Make sense? So often I don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit, he knows. So when you pray in tongues, there is clarity. The Holy Spirit gives you clarity. And over the last few months, I've been having so much clarity. I look at a person and I know exactly what needs to be done, the decisions that needs to be made. Why? Because the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities, and he gives us utterances that cannot be understood. Come on, amen. So when you pray in tongues, God's heart is made known to you, and all of a sudden, there is clarity. I remember hearing a preacher one time praying, talking about this, and he says he landed a dream job. landed a dream job that was so suited for him, and sometimes and something that he did not have any training for. He said, Lord, how did I end up with this amazing job? You know what the Lord said? He said, each time you prayed in tongues, you were telling me this is what you wanted. If you want an adventure, I'm telling you, learn to be led by the Spirit. Number three, I find songs of praise coming forth within me in a fresh way. When I pray in tongues, it loosens the vocal cords to sing, and the springs are activated, and the song of the Lord is released. And there comes a moment when your praying modulates into song. Hallelujah. Amen. And number four, I find myself recharged and ready for ministry, you know, every day. You know, when you're walking on the streets, you're visiting, and you never know when there's a situation you need to pray for somebody, right? You never know. But when you have that moments where you are at some, can you pray for me? You better make sure you are ready to pray for people. Amen. You better make sure your battery is fully charged. Hallelujah. Amen. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, Jude is making a distinction between faith and the most holy faith. All kinds of faith in the Bible, right? Saving faith, great faith, little faith, no faith, full faith, faithless, faithful. Hallelujah. But the faith that Jude is talking about is the most holy faith. I checked it up in the Greek. It's a scripture that makes a bit of a distinction between the faith that we have and the most holy faith. Is it an interesting thing that the most holy faith in scripture is connected with praying in tongues? Come on. What is the most holy faith? It's the idea that when you pray in tongues, you're praying in accordance with God's will. In other words, when I pray in tongues, I'm agreeing with whatever is spoken, even though it's a mystery form, but it's inspired. Hallelujah. And because I don't know what I'm praying, it can't be tarnished. Hallelujah. By my doubt. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this more than you are. Come on. God, that's right. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17. Watch this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Paul says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, everywhere I go right now, people are beginning to realize the detrimental effects of alcohol. And you know what's very popular now? A non-alcoholic drinks. Hallelujah. Amen. And people are beginning to discover that this alcohol is really taking a toll on the next generation. Now, the Bible tells us this long time ago, all right? It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Two things we need to understand. Number one, God knows you need help to live, right? It's called grace, by the way. Number two, the world also knows that you need help. So the world offers you things like sex and alcohol and drugs, pornography, entertainment. Why? Because that's where the world gets their inspiration from. But that's not who we are. We do not need to go to these things to get a leg up. We have something far more precious, something far more popular, powerful. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What Paul is saying is, don't receive your inspiration from alcohol. Receive it from the Holy Spirit. He knows that you need help to live, but that help cannot come from wine or any external stuff. Learn to drink in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What happened at Pentecost? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did the people say about them? They were drunk. Peter gets up. He says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We've not been drinking. Hallelujah. Why did they look drunk? Because they had been drinking. But they were under the influence of a different type of wine. What alcohol is, it's a tongue loosener. People who are drunk say things they don't normally say, do things they don't normally do, and sing even when they can. But if you learn to drink in the Holy Spirit, it'll keep you fresh, happy, real, non-religious. And if you're wise, you don't ever want to lose it. Amen. When you drink, there's a weird smile on your face. And people say to you, what have you been drinking? And you say to them, you really want to know? But if you have not been drinking, they don't ask. They don't notice. I'm telling you, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, we notice. Hallelujah. Today when Steve Hyde came into the room, well, he was filled with the joy of the Lord. He was talking to us about the trials in Cambodia. But boy, he was filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen. You got it, my brother. You got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
The second thing is God knows that we need help to live. He knows that you cannot sing spiritual songs, cannot give thanks for all things, all times, or pray without ceasing without spiritual aid. So he gives to us the Holy Spirit, and we've got to learn how to drink in the Holy Ghost. And when that happens, that Zoe life in the Lord starts flowing in you. How do we drink in the Holy Ghost? My friends, how do you drink in the Holy Spirit? Pray in tongues. That's how you drink. Learn to pray in the Spirit. When you're praying in tongues, you're drinking, you're drawing. The joy of the Lord, hallelujah, starts bubbling up on the inside of you. Now watch this. I'm just going to highlight one or two more verses and I'm take this to landing. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is the word mysterion, where we get the word initiated ones. Only the initiated ones understand the language of the Spirit. Sometimes you speak in tongues of angels, the tongues of men, sometimes in the language of the Spirit. Amen. But the most important thing of this verse is when you speak in tongues, you speak not unto men, but you speak unto God. Verse 4, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now, when you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. The word edify comes from the Greek, from the French word edifice, where we get the word building. Every time you pray in tongues, you're building a platform from which the purposes of God can be launched in you. So the word edify simply means to build up. When you prophesy, you build up the church. Now, for some strange reason, we've been teaching the people, oh, you should go for the better gifts. You should go for the higher gifts. What Paul is saying here, listen, if you don't build yourself up, you can't build other people up. You don't build yourself up, you cannot build the church up. Amen. So every morning, the first thing you need to do is get a drink. Get a drink, hallelujah. I want to encourage you today, make a decision. Every single morning, set your timer, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes for some of you, 30 minutes for some of you, 1 hour. Pray in tongues, don't pray in English, learn to drink. I want the inspiration for life. I want to draw on his life. I want to tap on his power. And God has an endless supply, so learn to drink. If you're thirsty, hallelujah, come to me and I will give you drink, hallelujah. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the Lord says, amen. When you pray in tongues, you're not talking to men, but you're talking to God, hallelujah. You can pray in tongues while you're driving, you pray in tongues while you're showering. You know, it's amazing when Pastor Nikki was in the church camp, told us the experience when the Lord appeared to him face to face. I mean, it was a physical, it wasn't a vision. He said, I saw Jesus, like, you know, he was standing and he said, I just came out from my shower with a towel and the Lord standing in front. And the second time in the camp, he had a visitation. He said he came out from a shower. So we were teasing him, why is it always that the Lord wants to visit you when you're showering? But that's amazing, right? You know, so you can pray in tongues when you're in your shower. You can pray in tongues while driving. But you need to set aside time to pray in tongues. And I'm telling you, something is going to shift in your life. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. One more scripture, all right? 1 Corinthians 14, 19, Paul says, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in tongues. Now, I've noticed that the gift of tongues is not a badge to be worn to prove that you are super spiritual, amen? You pray in an hour in tongues. You don't come to church and tell everybody. You know, Pastor Tim, I just prayed an hour in tongues. Praise the Lord. You don't impress God with that, amen? And you don't impress anybody. So it's not to be flaunted, it's not to be abused or misused. Paul said, tongues is a source of inner strength, hallelujah. I've discovered that praying in tongues is about 10,000 words for an hour. That's about, I speak about 180 words per minute, because I speak a bit fast. Now, for most of people, it's about 165 words. So that's about 10,000 words in tongues, right? For an hour, if you pray. And I guarantee you, if you pray in tongues for an hour, something will shift in your life. So Paul is saying this. He's saying when you are in your home, in your closet, and you're praying, you pray those 10,000 words. An hour, pray in tongues. Pray it at home. Don't come to church and pray 1 hour in tongues. You're going to irritate everybody. Pray at home in tongues 1 hour. And then you come and you sit in the church, and pastor says to you, I want you to pray for this person who's sick. And you lay hands on the person, and all you do is 5 words. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's all you need to say. Power of God hits them and he goes down and everybody says, oh my goodness, this is a man of God. What they do not know is behind those 5 words are 10,000 words in tongues. They don't see that, but you've been praying in tongues. Amen. That's where the power is. The 5 words are just to release the power. Amen. That good? Hallelujah. And then I just one more. This is for cell group people, right? How is it, brethren, in verse 26? When you come together, each one has a psalm, each one has a teaching, each one has a tongue, each one has a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. This is 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. Paul is describing the order of service for a house group. He says, when you come together, everyone should bring something to the table. One person should bring a psalm. Another one comes prepared with a tongue, and one with a revelation, another with a teaching. Everyone can come and bring something to the table. But today it's very different because the cell group leaders calls the cell members. He said, okay, you bring the chicken wing, you bring the pizza. That has got to change, come on. That has got to change. Cell group leaders, are you hearing me? You tell your people, you come with a tongue, you come with an interpretation, hallelujah. That means you got to be praying before you come, amen. You got to come with a revelation, hallelujah. You can keep your pizza and chicken wings, hallelujah. And finally, Paul said this in verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. This is the heart of the apostle. His desire is that we all spoke in tongues. But more than that, it's so that the whole church may be edified. Let's all stand in the presence of God. Time is moving. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We want to honor the Holy Spirit. There are people in this room today. You've been attending Cornerstone and you've been enjoying the ministry of the word, of the worship. But you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I know I've been born again. I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you this, when you get born, when you receive Jesus into your heart, you're born again. You're as safe as you can be, all right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit ain't going to save you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the speaking tongues, is not going to save you. You said, so what is the power, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? It's because we've got an adversary out there that's ready to kill you. And you, when he comes against you, you need more than rhetoric. You need more than nice cliches. You need more than simple songs. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. The devil is not afraid of you. He's afraid of the one who lives inside of you. And that's why we are so proud. You know, in the Bible College of Wales, Mr. Rhys Howells proved that the Holy Spirit in them was greater than the devil that was in Hitler. And through the agency of intercession, they could bind the strong man in Hitler. Bind the strong man in Hitler. I tell you this, the Holy Ghost in us is stronger than all the power of the enemy. Amen. But you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, my friends. God wants to give you the gift of tongues. He wants you to be learning to teach yourself how to be edified. Hallelujah. So there are many people here today, maybe quite a few people that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. In the first service yesterday, many people came up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost weekend, we want to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, this word Pentecost, it's not a scary word. It simply means 50. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to encourage you on this very special day to come and say, God, I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to speak in tongues. I want to be a spirit-filled believer. I don't just want to have head knowledge. I want to be full. I want my wells to be overflowing, the springs to be bubbling at all times. Hallelujah. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want healing today, I sense that there is the power of God to heal, hallelujah, in this place. If you want the power of the Holy Ghost today and you say, Pastor, my battery is half charged, but I want it to be fully charged. If you want God to touch you afresh today, wherever you are, get off your feet, come to the front right now, because today, as we honor the Holy Spirit, I believe God is going to manifest His presence in this place. Hallelujah. Get off your seats and come to the front right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Shiba baba yandore setebea. Come on, everybody. You want the Holy Ghost. You want more of the Holy Spirit. You just come and stand here in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to give you the Holy Spirit more than you desire it. Hallelujah. Purashaya. Jesus himself alluded to it. He says, if you ask the Father for a fish, he will not give you a serpent. If you ask the Father for an egg, he will not give you a scorpion. Oh, hallelujah. How much more your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Ghost.
to those who desire it. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.